touching," Snape sneered. "But surely you have noticed that Potter is very like his father."
"Yes, I have," said Sirius proudly.
"Well, then, you'll know he's so arrogant that criticism simply bounces off him," Snape said sleekly.
Sirius pushed his chair roughly aside and strode around the table towards Snape, pulling out his wand as he went. Snape whipped out his own. They were squaring up to each other, Sirius looking livid, Snape calculating, his eyes darting from Sirius's wand tip to his face.
"Sirius,"
said Harry loudly, but Sirius appeared not to hear him.
"I've warned you, Snivellus," said Sirius, his face barely a foot from Snape's. "I don't care if Dumbledore thinks you've reformed. I know better."
"Oh, but why don't you tell him so?" whispered Snape. "Or are you afraid he might not take the advice of a man who has been hiding inside his mother's house for 6 months very seriously?"
"Tell me, how is Lucius Malfoy these days? I expect he's delighted his lapdog's working at Hogwarts, isn't he?"
"Speaking of dogs," said Snape softly, "did you know that Lucius Malfoy recognized you last time you risked a little jaunt outside? Clever idea, Black, getting yourself seen on a safe station platform. Gave you a cast-iron excuse not to leave your hidey-hole in future, didn't it?"
Sirius raised his wand.
"No!"
Harry yelled, vaulting over the table and trying to get in between them.
"Sirius, don't!
Are you calling me a coward?"
roared Sirius, trying to push Harry out of the way, but Harry would not budge.
"Why, yes, I suppose I am," said Snape.
"Harry, get out of it,"
snarled Sirius, pushing him out of the way with his free hand. The kitchen door opened and the entire Weasley family, plus Hermione, came inside, all looking very happy, with Mr. Weasley walking proudly in their midst, dressed in a pair of striped pyjamas covered by a Macintosh.
"Cured," he announced brightly to the kitchen at large. "Completely cured."
He and all the other Weasleys froze on the threshold, gazing at the scene in front of them, which was also suspended in mid-action, both Sirius and Snape looking toward the door with their wands pointing into each other's faces, and Harry immobile between them, a hand stretched out to each of them trying to force them apart.
"Merlin's beard,"
said Mr. Weasley, the smile sliding off his face.
"What's going on here?"
Both Sirius and Snape lowered their wands. Harry looked from one to the other. Each wore an expression of utmost contempt, yet the unexpected entrance of so many witnesses seemed to have brought them to their senses. Snape pocketed his wand, turned on his heel, and swept back across the kitchen, passing the Weasleys without comment. At the door, he looked back.
6 o'clock, Monday evening, Potter."
He was gone. Sirius glared after him, his wand at his side.
"But what's been going on?"
asked Mr. Weasley again.
"Nothing, Arthur,"
said Sirius, who was breathing heavily as though he had just run a long distance.
"Just a friendly little chat between two old school friends."
With what looked like an enormous effort, he smiled.
"So, you're cured. That's great news. Really great."
"Yes, isn't it?" said Mrs. Weasley, leading her husband forward into a chair. "Hela Smethwick worked his magic in the end, found an antidote to whatever that snake's got in its fangs, and Arthur's learned his lesson about dabbling in muggle medicine. Haven't you, dear?" she added, rather menacingly.
"Yes, Molly dear,"
said Mr. Weasley meekly. That night's meal should have been a cheerful one with Mr. Weasley back amongst them. Harry could tell Sirius was trying to make it so, yet when his godfather was not forcing himself to laugh loudly at Fred and George's jokes or offering everyone more food, his face fell back into a moody, brooding expression. Harry was separated from him by Mundungus and Mad-Eye, who had dropped in to offer Mr. Weasley their congratulations. He wanted to talk to Sirius, to tell him that he should not listen to a word Snape said, that Snape was goading him deliberately, and that the rest of them did not think Sirius was a coward for doing as Dumbledore told him and remaining in Grimald Place. But he had no opportunity to do so, and wondered occasionally, eyeing the ugly look on Sirius's face, whether he would have dared to even if he had the chance. Instead, he told Ron and Hermione under his voice about having to take occlumency lessons with Snape.
"Dumbledore wants to stop you having those dreams about Voldemort," said Hermione at once.
Well, you won't be sorry not to have them any more, will you?
Extra lessons with Snape?
Said Ron, sounding aghast.
I'd rather have the nightmares.